Man, we're blessed, aren't we? Aren't we? That's a good English word, aren't. Aren't. It is in my vocabulary. aren't we? Yes, we are. We're blessed. Again, let me say that it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm so glad that we was able to come to church this morning. Turn me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Proverbs, chapter number 4. Try to share with you something that's upon my heart, and I want you to pray for me as I do that. And I do appreciate you being here today, and I'm glad most of all that the Lord is here. Amen. And I appreciate His presence and being with us today. I appreciate Miss Jane singing that song. We are blessed. Amen. We're blessed way beyond measure. I'm telling you, it's amazing how good God's been to us. Just to let us call upon His names is the greatest blessing, amen, that we could ever receive. And I'm so thankful that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, those that are saved. And I'm glad He gives us opportunity to reach those that are not saved, amen. Wouldn't it be sad to live in a world that you knew, without a shadow of a doubt, you knew that you were saved, but there was nothing you could do for those that was lost? Wouldn't that be sad? I mean, that'd just be a hard place to be, and to know that I'm saved and I know that I'm going to heaven, but that person beside me, that person I meet at the grocery store, and my friends and my family, they're not saved, and there's nothing that I could do. Boy, wouldn't that just be sad? That'd be an awful place, an awful way to live. But thanks be unto God, that's not the case. Amen? There's something we can do, and that's share the good news of the gospel with them and live right before them. Amen. And I want to share with you this morning something the Lord has given me, and I hope it'll be a help to you and a blessing to you and just an encouragement to you. And Proverbs chapter number 4, we'll begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says in chapter 4, Proverbs verse 1, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine." Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? We have good doctrine. "Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me," watch this now, "let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not." What's he talking about? He's talking about wisdom. Forsake not wisdom, forsake her not. "She shall preserve thee. Love her. She shall keep thee." What's it talking about in verse 6? Talking about wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Forsake it not. Listen, it'll preserve thee. If you love it, it'll keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." There's one thing to have wisdom, but it's another thing to have understanding. Wisdom is knowing. Understanding is knowing how to use the wisdom. Y'all with me? There's a lot of people have a lot of book sense. They're book smart, but they don't know how to use their wisdom. They don't have understanding. They have knowledge without understanding. And you'll find that in a lot of places. A lot of people are like that. We have people that we work with that are book smart. And when it comes to books, man, they know stuff. I mean, they know stuff that I never even dreamed of hearing. They're so book smart. But when it comes to the common sense, as we say, they don't have any. When it comes to getting in out of the rain, they don't know how to do that. They just don't have any common sense. This is what the Bible is speaking of here, is to get wisdom, the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Know how to apply that wisdom. Know how to use that wisdom. "Exalt her, she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." It's talking about wisdom and instruction. Hold on to it, get a hold of it, and listen, don't let it go. Once you get a hold of it, don't let it go. Hold on to it. And listen, it'll help you. She is thy life. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. A lot of preaching in those two verses. I'm not going there this morning. Verse 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. There's many that are wicked and ungodly, and their entire desire, their life's desire, is to cause others to fail and to fall. That's what they do. They sleep not except they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Watch this now. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Watch this. For out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us this morning, Father, to read your precious word. And I pray, God, you illuminate my mind, guard my lips, and help me to say only that, Lord, that's pleasing to you today. Thank you for the good folks that are here today. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. Thank you we made it all safe in this morning. And I pray, Lord, you'd be with those that's unable to be here today because of the weather and, Lord, the fear of maybe of ice and things like that. Lord, we understand. I pray, Lord, you'd help them where they are right now. Let them know, Lord, that the church is here and we're praying for them. God, I pray that you just encourage their hearts today. Father, I pray that you'd speak through me. Lord, you touch every heart and every life that's in this place today. Lord, we miss Thursday night. Lord, we had an opportunity to come today to worship you, and I pray, God, you'd help us to do just that. Lord, that we worship you. Father, we've started off with good singing, and now, Father, we've had the reading of your precious word. Use me now, I pray, to say that needs to be said in the message this morning. Father, we'll praise you. We'll thank you for all that is accomplished. In Jesus' loving, wonderful, and precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. Notice with me, if you would, in this passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs, there's two or three verses I want to pull out and share with you and look at those for just a minute or two, if we can. The Bible is speaking to our hearts this morning. Here we see that Solomon, of course, is writing to his son, and he's giving him some of the greatest words. Of course, we know this is God's Word, and we know that God's Word is written to us. It's for our learning. It's for our instruction. And he's here, Solomon is here writing to his son. In verse 4, he says, let thine heart retain my words. In verse number 4, chapter 4, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. And as I was thinking on this week of some things, I want you to understand that the heart, the Bible teaches us that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we understand that the heart, everybody has what we call a heart condition. I started to get up here this morning as my introduction and tell you, I hate to inform you, but I have a heart condition. But I didn't want to scare you with that. And so I decided not to do it that way. But everybody has a heart condition. Well, preacher, there's nothing wrong with my heart. I've been to the doctor. I'm not talking about your physical being. I'm talking about your spiritual being. Everybody has a heart condition. Now, speaking physically, we can go to the doctors and they can run tests and the EKGs and the EGGs and everything else that they run. And EGG is an egg. Y'all know that, right? They can do all kinds of tests on us, though. They can check our heart and see if there's anything wrong. And they can forewarn us. Say, my mother-in-law has a heart murmur. And she has to take medication every day of her life because she has a heart murmur. And if she don't take that medication, her heart gets to going crazy and beating out of rhythm and does crazy things. But she has a heart condition. And the doctors know that, and they can prepare her for every day of life by the medication they have put her on. And some others, there was a young man he's in his 40s, that went to the doctor last week. He's a friend of ours, and they went and they had to do a test on him and found out he had 95% blockage in one of his arteries. He thought he was having a heart attack. He's already had one. He's in his mid-40s. He's already had one. Thought he was having another one. So they did a test on his heart, and they found he had a blockage in his heart. He had a heart condition, physically speaking. He had something wrong on the inside, and the doctors was able to figure out what it was and repair that. Sometimes people don't realize they have a heart condition, and like my pastor, our late pastor, Brother Mark, he didn't realize he had a heart condition, and he fell dead. It's his time to go. But listen, we understand this morning that everybody, spiritually speaking, has a heart condition. Everybody has the condition of their heart, whether it's a happy heart or whether it's a sorrowful heart. The Bible speaks of several different types of hearts. And look with me, if you would, here and again in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. The Bible here says, and in instructing, to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we understand it is our duty as God's children, as born-again believers, let me run this rabbit, if I may. As born-again believers, as saints of God, it is our responsibility to keep our heart in good shape. Amen? Spiritually speaking, we need to keep our heart in good shape. We need to make sure that we do the right things and that we say the right things and we stay on the right track. And so we have what the Bible says is a happy heart. We have this little thing that we say in the bus world. If the bus is not broken, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a happy bus. And we go around, we teach that. Well, you know, I don't really use that phrase very much. I think it's kind of silly myself. But some other teachers use that and said the bus is not broke. It's a happy bus. And they have this big smile they put on the front end of the grill. You know, it's a big eyeballs and a big chin and all that big smiley face. And, you know, it's a happy bus because there's nothing wrong with it. Well, let me say this. If a heart is in the right condition and our heart is right, we'll have a happy heart. Amen. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Proverbs, chapter 15. The Bible has a lot to say about hearts. If you have the time and could take the time, it would do you good to look up the word heart and see how many times it's mentioned in Scripture and read each one of those verses and see what the Bible has to say about the heart. Man, there's so many verses. I certainly couldn't pull them all out. I just grabbed a few and tried to put some things together. But the Bible has a whole lot to say about our heart. Verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. A merry heart, a happy heart makes a cheerful countenance. Well, what does that mean? Well, people know if you're happy or not. People can tell if you're happy. Amen? If you're happy, you smile. That's a cheerful countenance. We can tell that you're happy. How can you tell that I'm happy? Because I'm smiling. Some of y'all are not happy. The Bible says that a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. People look at us and they can tell we have a merry heart because of our countenance. We look like we're happy. You ought to look like you're happy. Were you happy or not? Amen. Sometimes it's not easy to look happy. This last Sunday night, whenever we was at the funeral home, man, it's hard to look happy. It was hard to do that because of the circumstance and the situation that we was in. But listen, there were some folks that rallied around us, amen, and around my wife and began to encourage her, and she was able to smile and she was able to laugh. And listen, even during the hard times, amen, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But what's this? But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. The merry heart, the happy heart. There's so many heart conditions we have spiritually speaking, and one of the things we find in Proverbs is to have a merry heart or a happy heart. Amen. If you're happy on the inside and you're happy with the way things are going in your life, you won't have a sorrowful heart. Notice there, by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. We find many people today that they have a broken spirit. What happened to in David's life? You remember there in Psalms 51, David said when he's praying, he says to the Lord, create in me a new heart and renew a what? A right spirit within me. David had sinned against the Lord and lived in sin so long that it had broken his heart. He was living in sorrow, and his spirit was broken because he wasn't happy, he wasn't merry, because he had sinned against God. Now, I'm not getting into all that this morning and what David did with his sin, but I want you to understand, David had lost his merry heart. And the Bible says a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. You know how you can make people happy? Be happy yourself. Amen. That's good preaching. Listen, the Bible says that a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Many times there's things that happen in life that, listen, we're not happy anymore. And it causes us to be broken. And whenever my father-in-law passed away, and my wife, and my mother-in-law, and my brother-in-law, and listen, there was sorrow there. They was broken. And listen, I was broken because I saw they was broken. And that's the way that works. As we see someone that's hurting and someone that's broken, it causes us to be broken. Many times we find that people are their broken spirit and broken hearted, but hey, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. How can I get over my sorrow? How can I get over my pain and my anguish and the things I'm going through? Hey, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to have fun. Amen. It's okay to be encouraged and to smile. I think some people think that it's against the law to smile. Y'all better smile. Some people think that it's so wrong to smile. You know, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Hey, listen, Christians, God's people, ought to have a merry heart. Amen. We ought to walk around and be happy because, first of all, we're not going to die and go to hell. And second of all, we have the opportunity that we can tell others how they don't have to die and go to hell. Amen? We ought to have a merry heart and be excited because we get to serve the Lord. Moving on, the Bible says many things about the heart. Let me share this with you in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms chapter 101, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. You can write this down or get a CD, either way you want to do it. But Psalms 101, the Bible says in verse number 4, the Bible says, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. It's talking about a froward heart. There's many folks today that has not a merry heart, but they have what is known as in the Bible as a froward heart. What is a froward heart? It's a perverse or a wicked or a crooked heart. There's many folks that have a crooked or an evil heart. And their entire life is based on their mentality is to make everybody else's life miserable. To take things from people that they shouldn't take. Amen. To be crooked in their dealings. To be perverse in the things that they do. And they're just crooked people. Y'all know people like that? Don't raise your hand. They have a froward heart. A froward heart. Here, the psalmist said, a froward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. In other words, he's saying, I'm putting those people away from me. I don't want to hang around that. In the book of Proverbs, the wisdom was given from Solomon to his son, and it says, enter not into the path of the wicked to avoid it. Don't even pass by it. Don't even go that way. Pass by it, turn from it, stay away from it. Hey, listen, we don't need to hang around that crowd. The froward heart, listen, it's a wicked heart that people have, and it will cause you to have a broken spirit and won't have a merry heart. Amen, that's good preaching. The Bible teaches us about the froward heart. Many things I could say about that this morning, but we understand that it's an evil heart, and it comes from those that are crooked and those that, listen, that have the wrong agenda for life. They just want to get what they can get and make themselves happy, don't matter who they step on. It's an evil heart. It's a wicked heart. There's many out there that's like that today, and the Scripture teaches us don't run with that crowd. Don't go with that crowd. Stay away from that. Don't do the things that they do. Why not? Because I'm a born-again child of God. And I'm not going to be like they are. I'm going to have a merry heart, and I'm going to be happy, amen, because the Lord gave His life for me, and I've got a reason to shout and be excited. Amen. Life doesn't have to be miserable. You ever met anybody that's miserable all the time? Boy, it just messes me up to get around people like that. They're so miserable. Well, how you doing? You don't ever ask them how they're doing, because they're sure to tell you how they're doing. 2 or 3 hours later, you might get away from them. Oh, this is rad, and this is bad, and this is wrong, and that is wrong. Hey, listen, I don't want to be around people like that. We as God's people shouldn't be that way. Hello, Tokyo. I'm preaching good this morning. We as God's people should not be a sorrowful people running around with our lips dragging the ground all the time. Yes, right. Amen. Thank you. Now, listen, there are times we have to deal with sorrow, and I'm not saying we don't. There are times of mourning. There's times when it's right. As Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, there's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. Amen? There's a time for all those things, but we as God's people should have a merry heart, amen, and let everybody know where we stand. Our countenance should show our heart condition. Oh, that's pretty good. Our countenance should show our heart's condition. On the physical heart, when you go to the doctor, they have to use all these machines and all these x-rays and MRIs and everything else that they can hook up and everything to scan your body to see what's going on with your heart. They can look inside you. That's kind of scary, Brother Fred. They can look inside you. Listen, the world shouldn't have to try to look on the inside. They should see it on the outside by your countenance, amen, that you are a child of God and you love the Lord. Many people have said it's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside that counts. Let me say this, if it's right on the inside, it'll show on the outside. Amen? It'll show on the outside. Now listen, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, let me give you this, chapter number 26. Psalms chapter number 26, I'm going to read you some scripture to go along with what I'm saying this morning. Psalms chapter 26, verse number 2. The Bible says, hold on, that's chapter 25. That's not where we want. Chapter 26 and verse 2. The Bible, the Psalm of David here, judge me, O Lord, verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Verse 2, he says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. David said, examine me, O Lord, prove me, and know my heart. Look me over, scan me. I don't need an x-ray machine to scan me spiritually, but I need the Lord, amen, to scan me and to search me and to look me over, scan my heart. And Lord, tell me if there's any wicked way in me. Show that to me. I need to see that I not have a froward heart. Or I not have a wicked heart. Or have a broken spirit. Psalms 119. The Bible says in Psalms 139. I'll get it right here in a second. Psalms 139. And verse number 2. Thou knowest. Here again David is writing. He says, O Lord, in verse 1, thou hast searched me and known me. Verse 2. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my laying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. David is saying to the Lord, you know me. You know me. You know my ways. You know my uprisings and my downsettings. You know every word that's come off of this tongue. Oh, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, thou art there. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Thou possess my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I praise thee. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiosity wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyelids did see my substance. Hey, listen, David is writing, and he says in verse number 19, he says, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, the bloody men. And he's saying unto the Lord, search me, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David was crying out to the Lord, and he says, Lord, you know me, you know my ways, you know my heart. Search me, scan me, X-ray me. Amen. Do an EKG on me, Lord, and see if there's anything wrong with this heart. And lead me in the path of everlasting. Lead me in the right way. Search my heart. Know my heart. I want to say to you this morning, friend, every one of us has a heart condition. And what we need to do with our heart as in the physical body. If I go to the doctor and they say, son, your cholesterol's out the roof, you need to watch eating them hamburgers, which I don't eat very many of them, but every once in a while a good hamburger's good. Amen. Especially all that grease dripping off your chin. Amen. That's not good for you, but it tastes good. Amen. Listen, there's a lot of things in life ain't good for you. Amen. But if the doctor says, hey, your cholesterol's high, you need to lay off of this, you need to lay off of that, you need to get your cholesterol down, what am I going to do? A lot of people ignore it and they end up having a heart attack. I'm not going to do that, Lord willing. I'm going to try to do what the doctor says and get my cholesterol down. I'm going to take care of my heart. Amen. I have a wife. I have two girls. I have a church family. I have a mother and a stepdad and a dad. And man, I've got family members all over the place. I want to be here as long as God will leave me here. And I don't want to shorten my lifespan by being ignorant. That's good preaching right there. Amen. If the doctor tells me I have sugar diabetes, I need to lay off the sugar, then I need to lay off the sugar. Good preaching again, amen. Just not to shorten the lifespan that God's given me. We don't do things out of ignorance. When you have the Bible says to get wisdom, and with that wisdom, get understanding, and hold on to it. The doctors are here for a reason, amen. They help us, and we know what's going on in our health. But when it comes to our heart, spiritually speaking, instead of saying, "Doctor, can you tell me what's going on my heart on the inside? Am I gonna die?" Hey, listen, spiritually speaking, we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, scan me. Search me. Dig in there, Father, with your word and dig into my heart and see and pull that thing out and see if there's any wickedness in my heart. And God, if there is, show it to me and lead me away from whatever it is and help me to do what is right. Because, Lord, I'm your child. Everybody has a heart condition. Everybody, listen to me, has a heart condition. What is the condition of your heart? Is your heart merry this morning? Are you happy on the inside? Are you glad to be a child of God? Are you glad to be at church this morning? Are you happy? Are you merry? Or do you have a broken spirit and a broken heart? Words to ponder, amen? God knows, listen, God knows the secrets of the heart. Psalms chapter 44, let me give you this. God knows the secrets of the heart. Psalms chapter 44, the Bible says in verse number 21, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Hey, there's people that do things behind the scenes. They do things in darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The Bible said, amen. There's a lot of people that do things in darkness. They do things that are wrong. They do things in secret. And they think they're getting away with it. But the Bible says that God knows the secret things of the heart. I was reading the article the other day, Brother Fred, and it really wasn't It wasn't too stunning, but it was a little stunning. I couldn't really believe that I was reading all the stats that I was reading, but it was talking about our leaders of our nation and how pornography has overtaken so many in leadership of our nation. There was thousands upon thousands of computers that they have found with pornography on them. They went into the government offices and began to check. And I have this on eBay. I believe Brother Ron Beatty had sent it to me. Or it might have been David Cloud. One of those guys sent me an email. And I sent an article out on this. And it was thousands of people in our leadership, in our leaders of our nation that was so secretively getting on the websites and downloading stuff that was pure ungodliness. They spent hours upon hours looking at that stuff. One guy said had spent over 8 hours a day for years looking at pornography at the workplace and getting paid for it. In our government, guess who's paying his paycheck? We are. And he's doing that ungodliness and that wickedness. Hey, the Bible says that God knows the secret things of the heart. He thought, or they thought, all of them that's involved in it, it was men and women, they thought they was getting away with it. But the whole time, even though we didn't know, and the officials didn't know, their boss men didn't know, and the people that they worked for didn't know, God still knew those secret things they were doing. Amen? Hey, listen, the Bible says in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen? You can do it in secret as long as you want to do it. But mark this down, honey. God knows the secret things of the heart, and God will bring those things to naught. Amen? That's Bible. That's just God. That's how it works. Well, preacher, you just don't know. I don't want to know some of the secret things. Amen? I don't care to know the secret things. But God knows that. The main thing is that we understand that God knows and God sees those things. David himself, the man after God's own heart, tried to cover his sin for over a year's time. David tried to hide that and make everybody think he was okay, but God knew what he'd done. The secret things of the heart, God knows. And I said there was a froward heart, a wicked heart. There's also, the Bible says in Psalms 108, there's a fixed heart. Watch this now. Let me share this with you. There's a fixed heart. Psalms 108, verse number 1, the Bible says, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. And I will sing praises unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and answer me. Hey, listen, he says in verse number 1 there, my heart is fixed, and I will sing praises, and I will glorify the Lord. My friend, this morning, if we have a broken heart, if we have a sick heart, if our heart condition this morning is that it's broken and that it's overtaken in sin, and there's so many things that we're trying to hide in secret, hey, the Bible says that God can fix that. And He will if we'll let Him. The psalmist said, my heart was broke. My heart was sick. Yet then he comes to Psalms 108 and said, God, my heart is fixed. It was broken, but now it's fixed. And then he began to sing praises unto the Lord because he had a fixed heart. Man, there's so much I could give you this morning in the Scriptures about the heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Boy, we're living in a day where people don't acknowledge the Lord. They just do what feels good and do what they want to do and leave God out of it. Then they have a broken heart, a broken spirit, and a sick heart. They find themselves wondering why they got in the shape they're in. Hey, listen, those secret things that they've done, God knows that, God sees that. And listen, they leave God out of those things when it comes to the ways of life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Hey, listen, trust Him with all your heart. Give the Lord your heart. We talk about that when we talk about salvation. Just trust the Lord. Give the Lord your heart. Let Christ come into your heart. But my friend, it's a whole other ballgame whenever we begin to trust Him in our heart to take this life and do whatever is pleasing to Him. Have a happy heart. Have a fixed heart. Man, the Bible has so much to say. Psalms 37. Let me give you some more Bible. Man, I just love the Word of God. Amen. Psalms 37, the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." What's this now? Verse 4, chapter 37 of the book of Psalms. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." If we just delight ourselves in the way of the Lord. Hey, listen, delight thyself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. There's a promise and a condition. Condition and a promise. "Commit thy way unto the Lord," verse 5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Boy, I've claimed that verse many times. Amen. Commit yourself and commit thy way unto the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Hey, listen, the Bible teaches us here that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. And if we'll delight ourselves in Him, He will give us the desires of our heart. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." Man, lots of preaching. Lots and lots of preaching on the heart. There's a happy heart. There's the froward heart. There's the fixed heart. There's the examined heart. There's the unprepared heart in 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 14. The unprepared heart there had done evil because it wasn't prepared to serve the Lord. It was an evil heart, an unprepared heart. God knows the secrets of the heart. Then the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 10. Let me give you this real quickly. I'm almost finished. Thank you for not saying amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised." Here the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us get closer to the Lord with a true heart. My true heart is I desire to do what's pleasing to the Lord. I desire my life to be what God would have it to be. My desires is not what makes me happy, but it's what makes the Lord happy. And if we desire to make the Lord happy, whoop, the Bible says, He shall give thee the desires of your heart. He will bless you beyond measure if you'll just desire to serve Him with a true heart. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." The psalmist there said, I will seek Him with my whole heart. With a true heart. With a whole heart. What's your heart's condition this morning? Boy, that's a good question. I was thinking about that the other day when I was there in the nursing home and being in the hospitals. I see all these sick people, and so many folks have heart conditions and heart trouble. And I know we're living in a day where there's a lot of sickness. A lot of people have cancer and other different things with their health. But I was thinking about the heart condition. And man, on a physical realm, there's a lot of people with heart conditions today. A lot of it has to do because of what we eat. We eat the wrong things, and it causes us to have heart conditions. And I was thinking on that term and on the spiritual side of that thing,
Listen, there's a lot of people today that have spiritual heart trouble because they're not eating the right thing. They're not eating the Word of God. They're not studying the Word of God, and they don't understand what God wants them to do. Therefore, they have a heart condition. Sometimes it may be sin. Sin in the heart. If I regard iniquity, Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. If I hold sin in my heart, sin in my life, God does not hear my prayer. What a sad place for a child of God to be, that God knows the secret thing. He already knows what He done. He knows the secret things, and I regard that iniquity in my heart. I've not confessed it. I've not got right with God. God does not hear my prayers. Everybody listening? God does not hear those prayers. I know many people that say that they're Christians, and listen, they're living a life of wickedness and frowardness, and there's secret things that they don't think anybody knows anything about. And you know by the life they live, they never smile. They're never happy. And they say, oh, I've prayed and I've asked God. Listen, God didn't hear that prayer. Till you confess and get right with Him and make those things right with God. Then He'll hear you. Then your heart will be fixed. Their heart will be fixed. All they got to do is confess it, repent of it, get right with God. Hey, listen, it doesn't have to be a long, drawn out thing. When people sin against God and they sin against others, and when it comes time to get right, just get right with God, confess it, repent of it, turn from it. And if you've hurt somebody else, go confess to them and repent of it and move on with your life. Fix that heart. Fix that heart. Amen. The Bible teaches us as God's children, we're to have a merry heart. Amen. I like it sometimes on Thursdays. We've come in here on Thursday night sometimes and we have a time of laughter and giggling and carrying on. And man, I like that. And sometimes I know that some people think, well, you know, we ought to be laughing in church. Well, you go on down there and find you one of them dead churches if you want to and stay down there with them and not laugh. That'd be all right. I think it's okay to laugh, amen? It's scriptural to laugh. The Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and we've had a hard week, and we come in here and sit down, and we can laugh. And I'm not talking about making fun of each other. I'm talking about just laughing and just having a good time with each other. Amen? Some of you laugh because you look at me. Listen, we just have a good time and we laugh. That laughter lets me know that, listen, our heart's right. Our heart's in a good shape because we're laughing and we're having a good time. There's a lot of folks today that can't laugh and their heart condition is in trouble. Y'all with me? There's a lot of folks have spiritually their heart is in trouble. Not physically, because I'm not a doctor. But spiritually, on the inside, there's something wrong. And their heart condition, it's going to lead to spiritual death if they don't get it straightened out. You and I know as well as anybody that goes to the doctor and the doctor says there's something wrong, if you don't fix this, you're going to die. What are we going to do? Man, we're going to do everything we can to fix it. We're going to stop doing whatever the doctor said stop doing because we don't want to die. Now, I'm not scared of death. You point a gun at me, I'm, you know, whatever. I know where I'm going. I'm not scared of death. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes I fear the way I'm going to die. And I know the Bible says, oh, death, whores I sting. I'm not scared of the sting of death. So I just, you know, this, anyway. Some ways I don't want to die. But if I know that there's something wrong with my heart, I don't want to fix it. And I want to stay here as long as I can for my family and do as much as I can for the Lord. Listen, God's given every one of us a ministry. And we're going to talk about this next Sunday in Sunday school. And I encourage everybody to be in Sunday school next week. And the folks that ain't here today, encourage them to be in Sunday school next week. Amen. Promote Sunday school. Amen. Good teaching in Sunday school. Amen. We'll try to. Next week I'm going to discuss the ministry that God has given every born-again child of God. And that ministry is, of course, to witness to those that are lost. How can you do that if you have a sick heart? If your heart's broken? And you're regarding iniquity, and you're hiding things. How can you do that? How can you be an effective Christian, an effective witness? You can't. Man, you have more power, you have more authority, you have more abilities when you have a happy heart. Amen? Heart condition. Something to ponder. What's your heart condition?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us today, Lord, to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each and every heart. Father, this morning my prayer is, Lord, that you would search me and try me, and Lord, you know my heart. Lord, as the psalmist David said, search me and know me. God, I pray that you would examine this heart. As pastor of this church, Lord, you would examine me. God, if there's any wicked way in me, Lord, would you show me and help me? Lord, and lead me in the way that's everlasting. Help me to do away with those things that doesn't need to be in my life. Help me, God, that I'll always be, Lord, living a life that's pleasing to you. And then, Father, for those that are here today under the sound of my voice, I pray, dear Father, that be their prayer also. And Lord, that they would allow you to search their heart and to try them. And Lord, see if there be any wicked way in them. God, if there is, I pray, Lord, that their prayer would be, God, show me and God, help me to deal with those things that's in my heart. God, today there's many dying spiritually because of heart condition. God, today, would you do only what the great physician can do and begin to examine those hearts. Father, my prayer is that this church, the folks of this church, of Heritage Baptist Church, God, our congregation, our members and congregation, God would come before you and say, Lord, examine me. Lord, I pray that you revive us, you'd stir our hearts, and God, help us to get on fire for serving you. The psalmist there said, I have a fixed heart. Sing praises and psalms unto the Lord. I pray, God, your will be accomplished and your will be done. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen.